Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
When the American president, Lyndon Johnson, was asked how he was getting along, he replied, "Fine." He explained that he had adopted the formula once given to him by an old country woman many years ago. She explained, "When I walks slowly. When I sit loosely. When I sees a worry coming on me, I just go to sleep." It seems that nearly everyone today has his concerns over something. We often worry about the weather, about taxes, about the world situation, and certainly about governments. We worry about the spread of global terrorism. Single folks worry about getting married, and quite a few married folks that I know worry about staying that way. Have you ever considered the fact that worry is a senseless and futile pastime? It only drains your life of energy and siphons off your productivity. A panel of psychologists concluded that 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of our worries, they say, concern past events which are now history. It will not help one bit to worry about things such as, how well did you do on yesterday's test? How well did you perform at last week's party? Old grievances or last year's opportunity? 12% of the issues we worry about, say the experts, are about our health. 10% trifling concerns that really don't matter. And that leaves only 8% of our worries that psychologists would really classify as legitimate areas of concern. Now, if these observations are true and they seem rather logical, then we worry a lot about things that we can neither control nor should really concern us. Worry, said George Lyons, is the interest paid by those who borrow trouble. One of the interesting, if not ironical, things about worry is that we who are believers, who believe that God's in control, indulge in the pastime of worry just about as much as those who do not believe in God at all. Now, if, of course, there is no God who directs in the affairs of people, it would be a good idea to worry a little bit every day, just to keep you on your toes, to keep you from going to sleep at the switch. But on the other hand, if there is a sovereign God in heaven who directs in the affairs of his children, then you had better put your faith into practice, which means you can say, "Okay, God, you take over the night shift. I'm going to sleep." Friend, do you really believe all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose? Then Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and in his opening remarks, he said that God, quote, works all things after the counsel of his own will. Could I anticipate your thinking? You're not concerned about God's keeping the earth from colliding with another planet, brushing a few hundred million people off into space, but you are worried about the consequences of your mistakes, what you should have done, or what you should have said that you didn't do or say. You know, when it's all said and done, don't you think God is big enough and gracious enough and strong enough to keep us from the tragic consequences of our own failures at the same time? Be honest now. Are you fighting worry? Then take your New Testament and turn to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Then ask yourself, if God is really big enough to handle your problem, and go to sleep.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.